This is Ed Mazur, chairman of the City Club of Chicago. Our speaker today, who talked to a room of about 400 attendees, was Rich Miller, who puts out the Capital Facts, entering its 28th year. Capital Facts is a daily online political newsletter that is a must-read for policymakers, journalists, lobbyists, and others throughout the state of Illinois. He talked about what has happened in the last few years. He said, not much, but he's hopeful for the future. J.B. Pritzker, he said, governor-elect, has issued many white papers. He expects more to come. But the message during the campaign, he said, was that Rauner had failed and Rauner had lied. Rich said this was an easy case for J.B. Pritzker to make. Miller said Rauner failed for 4 years on everything he tried to do. And the 2018 gubernatorial election was the second straight repudiation for a governor in the state of Illinois. The first, Patrick Quinn, who received 46% of the vote when he ran for election, and Rauner, who received 38% of the vote. There will be no Rauner nostalgia in Illinois, Rich Miller said. The future is J.B. Who is J.B.? A man of wealth who lost his father and mother at a young age and didn't spend it on wine, women, and song, which Rich Miller said he would have spent it on. He started out in Alan Dixon's office, ran for Congress, has strong business experience, and he will have an agenda. An interesting thing that Rich said about J.B. Pritzker is, compared to his predecessor, J.B. talks like a normal person. He's someone you can have a conversation with. J.B., he says, has surrounded himself, starting with his wife, M.K., with very strong women and very strong people who will listen and will take action. He talked about his wife. He talked about his chief of staff, Ann Caprara, and Lieutenant Governor Julia Stratton. J.B., he said, chooses people of color, and then he listens to them. He let us know that Dan Hines, former state comptroller, will take a position in the administration and play an important role. J.B. received a broad mandate. He won by 16 points, and there will be no radical change. Instead, he said there will be a liberal agenda with no liberal rhetoric. He said, look for a capital bill. J.B. will get one. Governor Rauner tried for 5 years to get a capital bill, but failed. The split with Madigan. Speaker Madigan, he says, owes a debt to Pritzker because Pritzker took a lot of the heat that the Rauner people could have directed at Madigan away from him. J.B. could have blasted Madigan during the campaign, but he chose not to. Therefore, J.B. Pritzker, governor-elect, predicts that Speaker of the House Michael Madigan will not be an obstructionist. He said the wars in Illinois need to stop, and governing for the good of the citizenry needs to start.
You may note that Rich started this Capital Facts on a shoestring. I found out recently, don't tell him that story. Can I tell him about what you were going to do if it failed?
No.
Okay. So I can't tell you that if the facts failed, he was going to move to southern Florida and set up a mobile car wash with Rich in a Speedo washing people's cars.
No, that's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's give him a big round of applause, Rich Miller.
Okay, first of all, I've been to Carbondale, but I never went to SIU, so I don't know. And I don't know where he got the rest of that stuff either. My brother graduated from SIU. Now that we have that show over with, now, I totaled it up, and I got $1,500, but the LSSI people said it was $1,800 that we raised in our auction last week for tickets to the speech. And because I totaled up $1,500, I wrote a check for $1,500 to them. And I hope everybody will fill up your little mailboxes on your tables, and we can raise some more money for this invaluable organization. There's information on your table. Thank you to everyone who brought a toy. And thank you to everyone for being here. And thank you to the City Club for taking 10 tables out and allow us to auction those off for charity. So a big hand of the City Club. Except for that goofy introduction. Ed, we're going to have to talk. All right. During the primary, the Democratic primary, J.B. Pritzker ran what I would term as a strong issues-based campaign. They put out a lot of what they call white papers on various issues related to Illinois government and politics. And then after the primary, they put out one on higher education because, and I think no reporters even covered that press conference. His main message for the fall campaign was pretty simple. You could distill it down to two words, which was on my TV a lot: Rauner failed. Rauner lied. Rauner failed. Whatever you want to call it. And it was an easy case to make. There's not a lot of pushback against Rauner failed because Rauner failed on just about everything he tried to do for 4 years. Now, there's no need to go back over it, relitigate the last 4 years of failure. We all know the story. As a result, 2018 was the second straight repudiation election we've had for governor in Illinois, starting with Pat Quinn's in 2014. But this one was a much worse repudiation. Pat Quinn got 46.4% of the vote. Bruce Rauner received 38.8% of the vote. Now, you have to go back to 1912 to find an incumbent Illinois governor who scored less than that. And actually, that guy won. It was a four-way race, and there was like socialists running and all kinds of other weird stuff going on. So as a result, one of the best things that Pritzker has going for him right now is that there will be no Rauner nostalgia in Illinois. And Rauner is reinforcing this ever since the election with some of his bizarre things that he's said and done. Ladies and gentlemen, Karen McConaughey is sitting right over there. You may have seen her in the news in the last few days. Governor Karen McConaughey. All right, to the future. Who is this guy? What do we really know about him? I'm talking about Pritzker now, not Todd Ricketts or whatever. Yes, he was born into a wealthy family. But he lost his dad and then he lost his mom when he was just a kid. Now, he could have become, let's say, an irresponsible, rich playboy type, you know, the spent all his money on wine, women, and song. Because that's what I would have done. Some would say that's what I do now. Instead, he went to law school and then got a job on Capitol Hill, I believe in Alan Dixon's office, and that's where he met his future wife, MK. And then he stayed involved in politics and eventually ran for Congress, and Jan Schakowsky kicked his little butt. I mean, not so little. And instead of retreating, he turned to business was very successful, as we know, the 1871, et cetera, et cetera. But Crane's Chicago Business once called him the unofficial mayor of downtown Chicago. So while he's never really held elective office, he has some experience in bringing some people together. So we'll see. It's another clue as to what kind of governor he might be. I've had several extended conversations with both Rauner and Pritzker. And Rauner was always on script mainly. I think I told you about this a few years ago about I tried everything to get him off script, and I even tried one of my – I tried getting him drunk. Instead, as I remember telling you, I got drunk and told him all my secrets. That was a night to remember. He had trouble talking about anything off topic, and he had trouble at times. After about 20 minutes, he would lose his focus. Pritzker will have an agenda, right? When I've talked to him, he's always had an agenda. But it's hard to explain this, but he can just talk like a normal person. And I've never seen a normal person elected governor in my life. Now, I mean, this could be an act, but I don't think it is, because everyone I've talked to, how many people in this room have had long conversations with the governor-elect? Well, yeah, Ann puts her hand up. Right. And it's like talking to a normal person. It's very odd. But, you know, if you talk to people in politics in this state, it's been on both sides of the aisle, it's been a welcome change from what we've had the past long time, man. So, what else do we know? He has surrounded himself with very strong women. Strong-willed, strong-minded. And he seems to actually listen to them. And that starts with MK, the spouse. Ann Caprera, campaign manager and future chief of staff. Strong-willed woman. Galea Slayen, whoo! Strong-willed woman now. Emily Miller, who's right over there. Nikki Budzinski, who's right over there. Jordan Abadea. Is Jordan here? Jordan Abadea. I mean, the list goes on and on. Heather Staines. And, of course, Juliana Stratton, his running mate. Very strong women on this list. And he also chooses people of color to be around him, and I think he listens to them, like Juliana, like his deputy campaign manager, Quentin Folks, like Christian Mitchell, sitting right over there, who advised the campaign, was the executive director of Democratic Party of Illinois, and now is going to be deputy governor in the new administration. So that's another clue. What about white men? Says every white man in this room. Y'all got the governor. There will be some. Former comptroller Dan Hines is going to play a very important role, I believe, I'm told, in the coming administration. So how does this all fit together? JB won by about 16 points. So there could be a temptation, maybe not by his own people, but by some others, to claim a broad mandate and push radical change. But remember, this election was mainly run about as a referendum on the incumbent. And that referendum was overwhelmingly one-sided. So far, I think they played it pretty well. I think they've talked about and taken action on bipartisanship, on inclusiveness. And, you know, their entire transition committee. I mean, there are Republicans in there and downstaters, Chicagoans, a lot of Chicagoans. They seem to be pursuing a liberal agenda without the liberal rhetoric, which is good because rhetoric can alienate people needlessly. He wants a capital bill. Rauner talked about a capital bill for 5 years. And he's still talking about a capital bill. But unlike Bruce, I think that Pritzker will get one. And anybody in this room that has ever dealt with the General Assembly knows that a capital bill is a great way to keep the cats herded. Projects, man, they love projects. They love going home and cutting ribbons. Now, you ask, what about Speaker Madigan? He was, next to Rauner failed, a huge issue in the campaign. In every campaign, down to, you know, precinct committeemen. I mean, down to every lowly office. And I don't know yet if he sees this, but I believe that Madigan owes a debt to Pritzker. Because it would have been easy for JB to just tee off at any time and actually maybe pad his winning margin by doing so. Simple. Because, you know, the polling shows, I mean, the speaker said that the anti-Madigan message failed. I think it was simply overrun by more important things to voters. Trump, Rauner, what have you, National Republican Party, what have you. But so, like I said, Pritzker could have easily teed off, and he didn't. So, Madigan, if you recall, forget about the last 4 years. I know it's hard, but try to forget about the last 4 years for a moment. And remember how Madigan played with Pat Quinn like he was a cat toy. I think needlessly at times, just because he could, right? And Bruce Rauner, since the election, has got one thing right, is that the way you get to Madigan is through his caucus. So Bruce never successfully did that. He thought he was. He told me once, I won't mention the legislator's name, but he told me once that this 100% pro-union downstate Democrat was going to vote for local right to work. You watch, Rich. You watch. I should have bet him. I don't bet on that stuff. If Madigan, though, takes an obstructionist attitude with the incoming governor, I don't think he's going to be as successful as he was with Pat Quinn. Pat Quinn, remember, never even had a floor leader in either chamber. One guy said he was the floor leader, but then he wasn't really the floor leader. He was just somebody, the only person that liked Pat Quinn in the House. So, so the thing is that after, well, since 2003, January 2003, when Rob Blagojevich was inaugurated, Illinois has just been so beyond messed up. And we've had wars after war after war after war after war after war. And I'm pretty sure that Madigan's caucus and the House and, frankly, the entire state of Illinois is sick and tired of this. There, you can look back and say there were good reasons or there were bad reasons. But the wars need to stop. Governing needs to start. And as a resident of this state, not quite lifelong, but almost lifelong, I'm really hoping for the best. So thank you very much. I'll now take your questions.
Thank you, Rich. Okay, anybody has any questions? Just I see some up in the back of the room. So if one of our executive director, Amanda Gusty, she's going around picking up these blue forms. Oh, here we go. Thank you.
Remember what I said last night. Try to remember this part of what I said last night. Edit them.
Absolutely.
Here we go.
Okay.
Here's some more.
Oh, we've got plenty here now. Great. Now if I can only find my glasses, I'll be able to... I've got them, Rich. Hang on. This is from... Doug Dobmeier. Doug, where are you?
He's in the back.
Back. Sure. You know why he's in the back? He's not a member of the city club. But this is the season of charity and warmth.
He's also
Doug,
a good friend of mine.
$50, you become a member. Tax deductible, by the way. Obviously, he's not up on current events, Rich. He says if Pritzker is elected governor... relationship with... I know, but he's your friend, you said, but he's locked in the past. What will his relationship with Speaker Madigan and Senator Cullerton be?
Well, I covered some of that. I think some of it's just unknowable. John Cullerton is a guy who always wants to cut a deal. He will always cut a deal. I mean, the grand bargain. Remember that? The one to watch out for is obviously, you know, the speaker, and time will tell. I think it'll go well. It'll probably go pretty well until remap, because Pritzker has vowed to veto any new legislative district map that isn't a fair map. Mike Madigan don't like fair maps. They're fair to Democrats. Some. Not all. So we'll see what happens in a couple of years. That happens after the census. January 2021 is when they start putting together the maps in earnest. So we'll see.
Okay, so since we're bipartisan here, here's a question from one of our Republicans. Mark Weiermuller. Mike, where are you? Mark? Okay, good. Well, you know, that's what happens. You need a few more votes. Anyhow, here's his question. As people flee Chicago and Illinois, what are your thoughts on new Illinois GOP leadership like Jeannie Ives?
I could make an easy joke like, you want to watch people flee Illinois? Next.
Okay, this is a softball. You should be able to handle this. This is from the CEO of Roseland Community Hospital, Tim Egan. What was Alderman Brian Hopkins's favorite beer in college?
Free.
Yeah, whatever was the cheapest. I don't think we had a favorite beer at college. Besides, he never bought anything. Times have not changed.
Actually, Brian had his own question. He wanted to know who took the last beer in your apartment. This is from Abden Palish right down here. Will Lutheran Social Services ever recover from the damage Rauner did to the state's social service safety net? A most serious question.
Yeah, there comes the controller's office just digging it in on Rauner one last time. That's a question best left for them, I think. But there, I think Dick Durbin said something about how Rauner took a crisis and turned it into a disaster. And I think Dick was, on this point, right. It's going to take a while for every social service agency to recover. They lost people, right? And now there's a tight labor market. I'm often asked why I'm involved with LSSI. I'm not really involved. I just, you know, raise a little money every now and then. It's because I had a really good friend who's now passed away who worked for them. And she worked in a group home for troubled teens on the west side of Chicago. Right? Now, these are the kids nobody wants. It's not easy finding people to work with the kids nobody wants. They're out there, but it's also hard to keep them because you can't afford to pay them very much. These are the angels of our society. And those employees were laid off because nobody could afford to keep them on. And then many of them will never come back. And it's hard enough to find people, but when the state gets a reputation as bad as our state deservedly has, it makes it so much more difficult. And that impasse, whoever you blame, did damage that most of us will never see, and that must never happen again, ever. Next.
We'll say amen to that. Okay, this is from, I'll probably butcher your name, I apologize. City Club member Gail Perkey?
Yeah.
Okay, Gail, where are you at? Everybody's in the back. Okay. Keep asking questions.
By choice, I think she's in the back.
Here's her, question. What is Representative-elect Stava Murray going to do
about that? Next.
Next question. Okay. This is from Samantha Brill, right down here in front. On a scale from 1 to 10.
I did not plant this.
How blue is Illinois? How difficult would it be to flip it to red? Which way is it moving?
Samantha is from Ohio. Samantha sometimes has trouble understanding those differences between Ohio and Illinois, and it's purple. It's deep purple. And legislatively, and I'm talking at the state house and Senate levels, the Republicans are just in bad shape for their foreseeable future. And beyond, perhaps. But statewide, they still have a shot. Now, let's say, just imagine if, I mean, in 2 years, if you think this year was bad in Illinois for Republicans, in 2 years it's going to be worse. But there are no statewide officials up except for, I think, a U.S. Senate seat, maybe. I don't know. I haven't looked that far ahead because, geez, I'm done. But if he loses, if the president loses or doesn't run or what have you, and there is a Democratic president, there will be an opening then for Republicans to come in statewide in this state. I think it's very feasible. So what did Bruce Rauner run like? Okay? He didn't really, he never said the word union in the last 6 months of that campaign, except to deny that he had an anti-union agenda. He ran ads in the suburbs talking about how he was pro-choice. His wife was talking about how he was pro-choice, right? He ran as a moderate to liberal Republican. Jim Thompson, moderate to liberal Republican. Jim Edgar. Jim Edgar was despised by the NRA, and he was endorsed by NARAL. He was 100% pro-choice. George Ryan was a conservative legislator, but fashioned himself as a liberal Republican when he ran for governor. And he won some Chicago wards. Boys Town went for him like crazy. And he ran against a very conservative Democrat, right? So there is an opening statewide in several statewide positions. Judy Bartopinka. The list goes on and on. They can win. Now, conservatives want to take over the state party or whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The party, the state party doesn't matter. It's not relevant. What they need is our candidates who will run, who can win statewide. And I'm not saying that conservatives should be abandoned or abused or neglected or unheard. I'm just saying, if you want to run them, go ahead, but it's going to be really tough to win in this state.
Okay, thank you. This is from Dave Lundy with Aileron.
Good question.
It was a great question, let me tell you that. And Dave's question is, what was a bigger general election surprise? Rauner losing by 16 points? Or his attempt at a premature pullout?
Man, Dave. There were plenty of rumors about all that stuff. I don't know. I mean, I'm trying not to look back today. I try to look more forward. But I mean, the man is just a disappointment on so many different levels. And he needs to start thinking about a legacy, and this is no way to do it. It's really no way to do it. I mean, it's just sad, really, to watch him in the days before the election and since. I hope he can find some peace.
Okay. This is from UIC's Chris Mooney. Chris, where are you at? Okay. Last month, he says, GOP luminaries debated the state of the Illinois GOP, but they never mentioned anything about demographics in Illinois. Are they paying attention?
No.
Years for the Capital Facts, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is from Mr. Steve Brown.
Oh, my God.
Here we go.
He wants to know, what the hell is a fax?
Madigan still has one. He doesn't have a cell phone. He doesn't use email. When I first started out, about a third of my subscribers, faxing was so new that about a third of my subscribers had to buy a fax machine. And now less than a third have them. So, I mean, it's just a word. You know, it's like the courier, right? It's just a word.
It's actually the standard that others measure them against. You know that, Rich. Yeah. Okay. Charlie Ferreira. Charlie, where are you? Back there. He has two questions. How does Susan Mendoza, who, by the way, will be a speaker at the City Club breakfast here tomorrow, How does she distance herself from the Madigan machine? And the second question is, if and when Tony Preckwinkle is elected, how quickly will the soda tax come back?
I don't know. Will Madigan be an issue in the mayor's race? By whom? Right? Every single candidate has got a connection to Mike Madigan. Everyone. Well, I mean, except for, I don't know, people nobody's ever heard of. But and you could probably, I mean, if you put Rauner's team on the case, you could probably make a connection to them like that anyway. They're Democrats. So they could try to make that a factor. I don't see it. And if the incoming mayor is going to want to have a decent working relationship with the speaker. So, I mean, some of the lower tier people may make that argument, but I don't know. I just don't see it. And as far as soda tax goes, Tony's not stupid, right? That there'll be other taxes. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think that one's coming back. I just don't see that.
Okay, final question.
Hooray!
Unless there's one out there that hasn't come up, but I think this will be our final question. Rich, in all of your time as a journalist, what stories are you most proud of?
I don't know. I've been doing this for 28, almost 29 years. I don't know. I've had a lot of stories over the years that I'm proud of. I just think I'm proud that I'm still doing it. After all these governors. I always worry I'm going to come up here and stroke out because it's been an even worse year than before. But I just, you know what? I really enjoy what I do. It's kind of a pain some days, and it's frustrating some days, but overall, it's a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun, and I try to have as much fun as possible. A friend of mine and I have been talking about, when are you going to retire? And I'm like, first of all, you're never going to retire because you work harder than I do. And there's no way you're going to want to retire. Because if you do, you'll die like a month later. And that's what I think will happen to me. So I ain't retiring, all right? I enjoy this stuff too much. Yeah, I need a break every now and then. Who doesn't? I'm going on vacation for Christmas. But as hopefully most of you all are doing. But I just like being engaged in a process like this, and I love doing it. And this is one of my highlights I have every year, coming here, telling some stupid jokes, having lunch, and and hanging with my peeps. So thank you for coming. Enjoy yourselves. And don't forget to fill up those little mailboxes on your table. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich.